Leviticus chapter 1. Reading from verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of among you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash with water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward, before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar, and he shall cut it into his pieces with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and legs with water. And the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice of his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off his head and burn it on the altar. And the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And I am sure the Lord will bless his word to your heart and mind. I also assure you, beloved brethren and sisters, I have come among you with fear and trembling, because I just accepted this as a challenge to me, just to get down to the offering and see what I could find for my own soul. And I find the most ravishing and very rich. And I would say in the language of Holy Scripture that the gold of this land is good. Thinking on the offerings, I was reminded of that verse in the Proverbs chapter 17 verse 8. And it says there, a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him who hath it, and whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. So we are all gathered here tonight, and we are all in the happy possession of Christ as our Saviour. and how precious the possession of Christ is to your heart and my heart. For unto us who believe, he is the preciousness. And we shall see during the month that all the value of Christ is reckoned to us who have laid our hands upon his head. And then it says in Proverbs 17, not only the thought of the possession of the gift and the preciousness of the gift, but we're going to turn that gift Tuesday after Tuesday. And the wise man says, whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. And so we want to find some spiritual prosperity for our souls as we muse upon the offerings as they are brought before us from Leviticus 1 to Leviticus chapter 6. You know, whether we travel outward from the burnt offering or inward from the trespass offering, we meet the death of Christ at each commencement. But as far as we are concerned, we all commence with the trespass offering. We can all remember the day or the experience when by the Spirit of God our guilt was brought very forcibly before us. And we saw Christ as the trespass offering. Now that's the first look a sinner gets at Christ, the trespass offering. And we thank God for the cancellation of our sins. We recognize that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. 1 Peter 2 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And the result is now, we can use the language of the 103rd Psalm and bless the Lord tonight, who has forgiven us all our iniquities, our sins, our lawlessness. Well, there's the consolation of our sins. And as we viewed him as the trespass offering, we beheld the magnitude of our guilt. The magnitude of our guilt is seen in the trespass offering. But then, as we get on a bit in the Christian life, we realize that there is something within us that causes this. And here, we come to the truth of the sin offering. And like Paul, when we appreciate the truth of the sin offering, we can say, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And in the light of the sin offering, we think of Romans 8, where it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now it's the cancellation of our sins. Thank God they're cancelled. In the trespass offering, it's the condemnation of sin in the flesh in the sin offering. And we behold the meaning of the solitude of Calvary. Then we get on a bit further. We've got rest of conscience and rest of heart. And what a relief that was to you and me when we got to know Christ not only as the trespass offering, but also as a sin offering. And then we come into this lovely picture of the peace offering. And as I see the peace offering, well, what do we enjoy in the peace offering? It's really the prosperity offering. And here we have the communion of the saints. And our communion is with the Father and with his Son. And there's a beautiful link with the peace offering in 1 John chapter 1. And there you have the communion of the saints with the Father, with the Son, and with each other. But we'll leave that until we come to it. And then, of course, enjoying this lovely communion, we want to know more about the one who has brought us into this sweet fellowship. And the meal offering answers that. And what have we here? Well, in the peace offering, we behold the measure of our fellowship. Wonderful. It's broad. There's no fellowship like it. But when you come to the meal offering, it's the contemplation of the second man in all his perfection, in all his purity, and in all his preeminence. And then, of course, as we contemplate him as the peace offering, and we behold the man, and I trust for some lovely things in the meal offering, then we think of him as the burnt offering. And as we view him as the burnt offering, we think of his complete surrender to the will of God. As I think of that, I behold the motive of his complete surrender to the will of God. The primary thought on the mind of your Savior and mine, beloved, was the glory of God. And I find in the burnt offering, and if I turn to John 17, there are lovely things there, you know. And in relation to the burnt offering, you've got his cloudless communion. He could always, as the Son of God, lift his eyes to heaven. And you've got his complete consecration. What did he say? I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. And then you've got his co-equal clay. That's the burnt offering. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Well, having said that, how the offerings have appealed to me and enriched my soul, and I can only give you what I've got. When I think of Christ as a burnt offering, as we're going to do, I think of the fragrance of his loyalty. That what comes out beautifully in this chapter. And when I think of Christ as the meal offering, I think of the flawlessness of his life. Isn't it lovely? The flawlessness of his life. When I think of Christ as the peace offering, I think of the fellowship of his love. That warms my heart. Fellowship with one another. That's beautiful. Something indispensable on the way home to glory. But fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son. It all comes out in the peace offering. And when I think of your Lord and my Lord as a sin offering, I think of the fearfulness of his loneliness. It was at Calvary he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when I think of Christ as the trespass offering, I think of the fullness of his Lord. But thank God, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Well, that be as it may. What about the burnt offering? Well, you see, as I have seen it, if I may take a telescopic view before we touch a microscopic view. As I view Christ as a burnt offering, I see him here unreserved and unswerving in his devotion. He loved the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. That's the burnt offering. As I take another look at the burnt offering, I see my Lord and your Lord unfailing in his obedience. Wherefore, as by the obedience of one many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be constituted righteous. And we know, beloved brethren and sisters, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But I see him here in Leviticus 1. He's unchanging in his love. That's the burden of it. You turn to John chapter 14, and what do we find there? He says, as the Father hath given me commandment, that the world may know that I love the Father, arise, let us go hence. That was because of his love to God the Father. That's the truth of the burnt offering. But he was not only unchanging in his love, as we see here, but the bullock was strong to labor. He was untiring in his service. Did he not say in John 9, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And he said in John 4, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. But there's another thing comes out in the burnt offering. He was unsullied in his purity. I would to God that that was grasped, especially by our young brethren and sisters, for there are those who deny it among us today. Unsullied in his purity. He was without blemish. He was without spot. We shall come to that. But he was not only unsullied in his purity. What I find as I view him in this lovely offering, he was unique in his sacrifice. It was a whole burnt offering. Vastly different from the other offerings. This was entirely for the pleasure and for the glory and for the satisfaction of God his Father. And the practical lesson is this. He is unequaled in his example. What's the example of the burnt offering? Romans chapter 12. And we know what verse 1 says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, we find that the Lord speaks to Moses out of the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. And we find that Moses couldn't go into the tabernacle at this time, for the glory of God filled it. But oh, what a difference. God speaks now to Moses out of the tent of meeting, and it's a message for everyone in the nation of Israel. You see, when he spoke from Mount Sinai, it was a message of government. But speaking from the tent of meeting, it's a message of grace. And I find here, he makes provision for all. There's the bullock, there's the sheep, the goat, the pigeon, the turtle dove. Well, how I view them. As I think of the bullock, I think of the majestic dignity of the Son of God. As I think of the sheep and the goat, I think of the meek deportment and disposition of Christ as the burnt offering. And when I think of him as the pigeon or the turtle doves, I think of the marked difference of Christ as a burnt offering. You see, they could only give what they had. Well, that views it may. That's how I view the offerings here. Perhaps one could say this. You would expect a father in the assembly to give a bullock, wouldn't you? I mean the elder brethren. Those who have reached maturity. Well, they ought to give a bullock. And then you expect young men to give a sheep or a goat. And of course, a babe in Christ, you expect they'll be able to give a turtle dove or a pigeon. Well, after all, 5 words in the Spirit, 5, is better than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. But here's the beautiful thought to me now. Whether it be a bullock, a sheep, a goat, a turtle dove or a pigeon, it's the bringing of the burnt offering. And everyone had this privilege to bring a burnt offering to the Lord. When I think of that, it wouldn't be out the way to speak a little on the priesthood of all believers. I hope we all believe that, because I meet dear brethren who don't believe it, but I do believe it. I firmly believe in the priesthood of all believers, or they could never bring a sacrifice to the Lord, not at all. But if you turn your mind with me to 1 Peter 2 for a moment and Hebrews 10, there are six things there about the Christian priesthood. There's the foundation of the Christian priesthood. It's based on the living store. View the vast building, see it rise. The work how great, the plan how wise. O wondrous fabric, power unknown, which rests upon the living store. The foundation of the spiritual house, which is the Christian priesthood, who are able to bring their sacrifices to the Lord. The foundation is Christ himself. But then we have not only the foundation of the priesthood, but we have the formation of the Christian priesthood. What does it say? Ye also as living stones. We have had imparted to us life from the risen Christ. And we are built together a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Now what would be the difference between the holy priesthood and the royal priesthood? Well, in my judgment, and I can only give what I have seen, holy priesthood speaks of presentation. That's us going in and going up, the holiest now we enter. Royal priesthood speaks of representation. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. Think of the dignity of that we have had conferred on us, that we might display, show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the formation of the Christian priesthood, I believe that happened on the day of Pentecost, when they were all baptized, not by the one Spirit. The Lord's a baptizer, in the one Spirit, into the one body. And then you've got the function of the Christian priesthood. And what is that? That's the thought here, bringing the burnt offering, your thoughts of Christ, and my thoughts about Christ, whether it be a bullock in all his dignity, or whether it be a sheep or a goat in all his humility, or whether it be the turtle dove or the pigeon in all his ignominy. Does that cite it too? We can bring that to the Lord. You see, when you touch Hebrews 10, you have something else. You've got the freedom of the Christian priesthood. And that's the thought here of bringing. My brother and sister, you have the same freedom to bring this offering to the Lord as any other one has. It's not the elite among us, the gifted among us. This is not gift, it's gratitude. And the great thing here is this. The holiest now we enter, we sing, don't we? In perfect peace with God, regaining our lost center through Christ's atoning blood. Now, it's nice to have freedom, and the thought behind it is freedom of utterance. When Aaron went into the holiest of all, we never read he uttered a word. But when we go in, we offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In other words, we say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But then there's not only the freedom of the Christian priesthood, but there's the fitness of the Christian priesthood. And this happened the day we got converted. It's having had our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having had our bodies washed with pure water. It's the consecration of the priest, as we find it in Leviticus 8. And there's the fitness, but here's the faith of the Christian priesthood. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, realizing this, that God hears us and God takes of what we offer to him, and he appreciates our thoughts of his blessed Son. Well, that be as it may, the bringing of the offering. And this burnt offering, it had to be a male of the first year, and it had to be without blemish, surely speaking to us of the energy, the vitality, and the purity of the one who was our Saviour. And here's the beauty of the burnt offering. Not only the bringing of it, but the beauty of it. I have been made very sad, you know. I received a letter from a retired missionary. In fact, he's been received to glory now. But he believed that your Lord and my Lord, he could have sinned if he wished, but did not do it. Utterly impossible. Young brother and sister, I would say to you, our Lord wasn't born innocent or sinless, he was born holy. And the result was this, he was intrinsically holy. The angel said to Mary, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. But thinking of the beauty of Christ as a burnt offering, there was no defect. Whether internally or externally, he was without blemish and without spot. Now isn't it lovely to bring the beauty of the purity and the holiness of Christ in our worship to the Lord our God concerning his Son? It's a real thrill. You know, sometimes one's on their feet before they really know they are on their feet. But after all, you can't help it. You see, in Luke 7 it says, of his own hand he shall bring it. Now that's a handful. That's a full hand. And it's nice to have a personal appropriation of Christ that belongs to me concerning him. And then in the 45th Psalm, you've got a full heart. My heart is inditing a good matter. What's that? That's the personal attractiveness of Christ, because one's eyes on Christ. And we say, thou art fairer far than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. And what's the result? A full house in John 12. So occupied with Christ, and this is our personal adoration of Christ. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. It's nice to be occupied with the beauty of Christ as a burnt offering. But we have not only the beauty of the burnt offering, but we have also the blood of the burnt offering. And I would like to say this. This burnt offering is an approach offering. Another thing about it is an atonement offering. Another thing about it is an acceptance offering. And another thing about it, and thank God, according to the law of the burnt offering, it's an abiding offering. It says the fire shall never go out. Thank God for the eternal value of the sacrifice of Christ. Well, the blood was sprinkled on the altar. The altar speaks of the claims of God. And the claims of God were met by the precious blood of Christ. That's what God thinks of the blood of Christ. He says it shall be accepted for him. There is much could be said in relation to the blood of Christ. And I know your mind will go to this scripture and that scripture, and I just leave your mind to go to it. But the thought here is this, the claims of God were met in their entirety by the precious blood of Christ. But we have not only the blood of the offering, but we have the bearing of the hand upon the head of the offering. Now, this speaks of identification, impartation, and implicit trust. You see, there's a vast difference between laying our hand on the head of Christ as a burnt offering and laying our hand on the head of Christ as a sin offering. With regard to the sin offering, our vileness was transferred to him. With regard to the burnt offering, his value is transferred to us. You know, that grips my soul. Well, that's just as simple. That's identification. And the moment you and I trusted Christ as our Savior, we virtually put our hand firmly upon the head of Christ. And the result was this. We were reckoned righteous. We were accepted. And we know the great truth of atonement. And we know the abiding value of the sacrifice of Christ. Now, these are the three simple things there. But let us come to the body of the burnt offering. You see, there was the slaying. And then there was the flaying. And then there was the laying of the pieces. And in relation to the body of the burnt offering, the result was the head and the fat, and the inwards and the legs, they were all laid on the burnt altar, the brazen altar. And what was the result? The result was this. They all ascended as a sweet savour sacrifice, well pleasing to the Lord. But what do they speak of? When we think of the body and the uncovering of the inward, well, as we think of the head and the fat, we think of the thoughts, the intelligence, the excellency, and the energy of Christ that was devoted to God his Father, and they were laid upon the altar for God. You think of it, his head and the Song of Songs as the most fine gold. You think of his head in Revelation 1, wonderful, as the Ancient of Days, but there it is. And he was the one who had lovely thoughts concerning his God and Father while he was here. Then there was the inwards, and there was the legs. Now the inwards speaks of his internal desires, and the legs speaks of his external movement. And we find that his movements externally were just corresponding to what was internal in your Lord and mine. Now, could I put it in the way that I appreciate it? When I think of the head and the inwards and the legs, I am reminded of the mind of Christ. You see, my brother and sister, the Lord just choose the right men to explain the truths concerning Christ. And he took the man of learning. And he says, Paul, you'll be the man who'll tell my people he knew no sin. Now that's the mind of Christ. You think of it, there never was an unclean thought passed through the mind of your Savior and mine. And there never could be an unclean thought pass through his mind. But that's the mind of Christ. Now we'll take the lively man, Peter. He was always on the move. Well, the Lord says, Peter, I'm going to take you to speak of the movements of my son. And what did he say in 1 Peter 2? He did no sin. He did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. And who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. There's the movements. Little wonder we see him, we think of the bullock, the majestic dignity of the Son of God. But then we think of the inwards. Now who would speak of the inwards? Surely the disciple who leaned upon his bosom. He says, John, you were the man. For you were closest to my son. And you tell my people that in him, no sin. So there's the mind of Christ, the head. There's the movements of Christ, the legs. There's the motives of Christ, the inwards. Isn't it lovely to think that one can uncover the burnt offering and muse upon the various parts where we would expect a father to be able to do that. But then there's not only the body, but there's the beholding of the burnt offering. And you think of this priestly family. They were only priests because they were the sons of Aaron. And we are only priests because we're born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. You see, it's birth that puts us into the priesthood, but it's our behavior that determines whether we'll function as a priest or not in the priesthood. Well, there they were. What a lovely sight. Beholding. And they saw it ascending up. But all they could do, because it was only God could appreciate all that was in his blessed Son. No man knoweth the Son save the Father. And that no one knows the value, the preciousness, the devotion to God by the Son, but God himself. But isn't it lovely to behold? And sometimes we sing in the breaking of bread meeting, we treasure the Father's thoughts of thee. Have you ever thought in the Father's thoughts of the Son? Hebrews 1, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Hebrews 1, here are the treasured thoughts of the Father about the Son. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And so on and so on. And here's other thoughts of the Father about the Son. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And here are other thoughts concerning him. And what are they? The thoughts of the Father is this. A weak old sword against the shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Lovely to go along that line, you know. And in a worship meeting, it's nice to have your mind filled with the thoughts of the God the Father concerning God the Son. Well, that's the beholding, and it's lovely to look at him. But then what about the blessings of the burnt offering? Well, one of the sweet thoughts is this, it shall be accepted for him. Accepted I am in the once offered law. It was God who himself had devised the flower. We have been accepted with all the acceptability of his beloved Son. Now, it's not accepted in Jesus. No, no. It's not accepted in Christ, nor in the Lord. It's accepted in the beloved. Isn't that sweet? To think that you and I have been accepted in all the acceptability of God's blessed Son. I tell you, that warms my heart. Now, coming to the bearing, the practical bearing of the burnt offering. Here it was, complete surrender. And what's the lesson? And after all, there must be an application. And what's the lesson for you and I today? Well, one has said, you know, Romans 12, it's an action after a process. When you think of the process from Romans 1 right on to Romans 11, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, sometimes we sing, and very glibly, don't we now? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. Sometimes we think, in the light of meeting him, I wish I had given him more. Well, oh, blessed Lord, he gave all to his God and Father. Now that's how I see the majestic dignity of the Son of God. That's the glory of the burnt offering. And then, just the thought, because it's just the same thing in relation to the sheep and the goats, because the inwards, and this is a thought to appreciate, the inwards, and the legs were washed with water. My brother and sister, no matter how the word of God was applied to our blessed Lord, he was absolutely pure. And what the animals were made ceremonially, he was intrinsically, he was essentially the spotless Son of God. Now here's a thought, we don't hear much. Some say that the goat here is the thought of the sin offering. Well, I'm indebted to George Anderson. And he said, you know, when we think of the sheep in relation to the burnt offering, we think of the willingness of Christ. I thought that was lovely. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. But when we think of the goat, he says, we think of the ability of Christ. I never saw that before. So I just give it to you for what it is worth. But I can appreciate not only the willingness of Christ as a sheep, but I can see the ability of Christ and the strength of the goat. You see, there were two men prepared, they were willing to die for the nation of Israel. And one was Moses and one was Paul, but they weren't able. But the Lord was not only willing, but he was able. And then there's the two turtle doves, the turtle dove of the young pigeon. And as I see this, I see the marked difference. I know it can be viewed as poverty. I know that there are many things can be viewed here, but it's nice to view it as the man of a new order, the second man, the Lord from heaven. When we think of Christ as the heavenly man, probably a small thought, but the birds are those who fly in the heavens. And 1 Corinthians tells us that Christ, he was the second man, the Lord from heaven. And as I said, if in the burnt offering the bullock with his dignity, and in the sheep or the goat with his humility and sufferings, there's an aspect, my brother, where you have the ignominy of the burnt offering. And I'm indebted to a good man who's now in the glory, who gave me this thought. The blood wasn't even put out at the bottom of the altar, as it will be in the sin offering, nor sprinkled round about, sprinkled on the altar as a burnt offering. It was just put out at the side. And what did the world think of your Lord and my Lord, who glorified God on the earth and finished the work he gave him to do? He was disallowed indeed of men. He was derided by men. He was despised by men. But thank God, he was chosen of God and precious. And unto you and I who believe, there's no one like our Savior. May the Lord bless his word. Shall we briefly close in prayer? Our gracious God and our loving Father, we are very grateful to thee tonight for so ordering our circumstances in life to give us this privilege, this pleasure of enjoying sweet fellowship with those who love the Lord, gathered together this evening around the good word of God, that we might hear thy voice, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, for our initial knowledge of him. And we thank thee for the desire for increasing knowledge of him. But Lord, we want to get to know more and more intimate knowledge of him. And like the two who said, "Where dwellest thou?" We just want to dwell with him, delight in his presence, look upon his face, dwell in his presence. Grant our God, like Mary, we shall hear his voice. We have gathered tonight that like those on the road to Emmaus, and after they had entertained the Lord in their home and after he had gone, they said, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened unto us the scriptures?" We thank thee, Lord, for the heart-burning times we get by musing on our blessed Lord. We pray, Lord, we shall covet this more and more as the days grow darker and as there's so much unrest in the world. May we, thy children, cultivate heart occupation with the person of Christ. And now, Lord, we think of those who would love to have been here tonight. They're missed, their place is empty. We pray to give them a special blessing. Hear our prayer. Receive our coming together. Take